DNA.
Blog Talk Radio.
For our divine ancestry.
NBC News Radio, I'm Lisa Taylor. The president is due to address the nation on the U.S. pullout from Afghanistan later today. The Pentagon announced the final withdrawal of troops yesterday, nearly 20 years after the start of America's longest war. In a statement, Biden said he will talk to Americans about his decision to not stick around in Afghanistan beyond today. The Pentagon spokesman is reflecting on the end of America's war in Afghanistan. John Kirby was questioned if anyone at the Pentagon asked the White House for more time to continue the mission. Kirby explained the security environment in the war-torn country changed rapidly over the last 2 days, while insisting officials didn't want to put American troops and the Afghan people in harm's way. The House is paying tribute to the 13 American service members who were killed in the terrorist attack at the Kabul airport last week.
A moment of silence in remembrance of the 13 service members who were killed during the terrorist bombing in Kabul, Afghanistan, on August 26.
Michigan Democrat Debbie Dingell presided over a brief House session. The U.S. retaliated with 2 airstrikes against ISIS-K targets in Kabul. The governor of Louisiana is addressing the people of the state following the massive destruction caused by Hurricane Ida. John Bell Edwards has said the main focus is search and rescue. Edwards also said no levees were breached, but some smaller ones were overtopped. People throughout Louisiana are beginning the enormous task of recovering from the hurricane. They could be doing it without power for a month or longer. In La Place, Sam Brock says recovery will take a while.
Power lines strewn all over yards. This is one tiny microcosm of what you will see along Highway 61.
The devastating storm knocked out power to more than 1 million homes and businesses when it made landfall Sunday afternoon. One of Louisiana's largest utility companies is starting damage assessment again following the hurricane. Entergy Louisiana says over 20,000 storm team members are canvassing the Baton Rouge and New Orleans areas to inspect lines and power substations. You're listening to the latest on NBC News Radio.
According to research, 82% of people remember radio ads. That means that 82% of you listening right now will remember that this is an ad for ZipRecruiter. If you're hiring, 82% of you will recall that ZipRecruiter makes hiring faster and easier. And 82% of you will note that you can try ZipRecruiter for free today. But you have to go to ZipRecruiter.com/free. Yes, free. 82% of you will keep in mind that ZipRecruiter's technology finds qualified people for your job and actively invites them to apply.
Yeah. Is that you? Who are you talking to?
82% of you will also know that I, live with my mom. But the most important thing to note is that ZipRecruiter works. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. Will you be part of the 82% who remember where you can try ZipRecruiter for free? It's ZipRecruiter.com/free. Again, that exclusive link is ZipRecruiter.com/free. How much? Free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free. And let's go ahead and take a look now at your alternative talk weather outlook for Tuesday. Partly sunny skies today. High temperatures around 66, 67 degrees. Tonight, partly cloudy skies. Low temperatures dropping down to a crisp 50, 51. For Wednesday, Thursday, and for Friday, though, we'll turn things around. More sunshine, warmer temperatures. Highs in the low to mid-70s with clear skies through the overnight. Low temperatures in the low 50s.
The views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of KKNW, its management, or other advertisers. This program is sponsored by Dr. Pat McPhilly and Transformation Talk Radio.
Hi, welcome. This is Dr. John DeMartini. This is one of the most amazing and inspiring shows that you can listen into. If you want to be on the edge of your seats, if you want to open up your heart, if you want to expand your mind, and you want to meet incredible people, stay tuned, because you're just about to experience a transformative radio show that will change your life. And you're listening to the Dr. Pat Show is coming up right next.
Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show. Talk radio to thrive by. Powerful, inspiring, and coming to you live, bringing you stories of people like you and me, busting through and living life full out. Get ready to dare to wonder what your life would be like if you knew you could not fail.
Welcome, everyone. Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show. This is Talk Radio to Thrive By. I am so thrilled. You know, my spiritual journey is the way I think about it. I never really had sort of a framework for it. You know, when I talk about how I got here, it doesn't sound as structured as a lot of people in life. it really looks like that song, The Long and Winding Road by, like, McCartney, I think, did that song. But when I look at how other people talk about the journey, and that's, you know, Carmel Nyland joining me here today, and when I think about what the message is that she's bringing forward, especially when we're talking about her spiritual DNA, and looking at the 12 ascended masters, and, you know, and when I, and as I went through her book, and Dale will tell you, I read the book. And then I read them again. When I went through this, I got to certain parts of the messaging in here. And the question that comes out, you know, for me is, who do we identify with? You know, what is it in our journey that helps us? And as I was reading about this, and let me just tell you a little bit more, because one of the things that I love about what I get to do in the world today is I never thought in a gazillion years that I would have one. There's no way that I would have sat down, and if people would have asked me on my vision board, you're going to be speaking to someone who is bringing a God essence to the forefront for us and talking about the fact that we all hold these energies. And whether you're learning it from this book and talking about spiritual DNA, or if you're looking at the many books, and especially A Darker Magic that comes, it, at least for me, this woman, it makes me sit up tall. It makes me look through a different lens. Because if we can truly, truly understand the spiritual and our genetic connection to God, and have the realization that we are all connected across lines, across grids, across countries, across, as my table tennis partner says, in her particular religious philosophy, they have 98 million deities of God. What you come to is an understanding that we are so much more. Whatever we think we are, we're much more than that. Carmel, it's great to have you here. Thank you so much for connecting again. And it's such an honor to see you and to be in your presence and the wisdom of what you're sharing, because the world needs this book now more than it ever has. What do you think?
Well, thank you for such a wonderful introduction, Dr. Pat. I kind of got into this area backwards rather than frontwards. I was founded by, when I looked across history, which I studied passionately, and I saw that there were people incarnating founding fathers and mothers of the United States. That's one of my beginning points.
Yeah.
And how the energies associated in around the time of Shakespeare, when we had the great flowering of English literature, or later on when we had the flowering of English poetry. So what's going on here? Why do these groups keep coming back? How do they relate to God? And fortunately, I had a being around me called Saint Germain. He's purple like your networks are. He's a violet that's in that. And he made it clear to me that his other aspect was Mary herself. And Mary was complicated in the sense that there are three Marys. There is Mary the Mother, there is Mary the Magdalene, and there is Mary the High Priestess. But when I got to Saint Germain, it was really complex. So starting with complexity, he then worked with me to make this far more simple, so any Tom, Dick, or Harry could understand it.
You know, let me ask you this question, because I've been on a really interesting journey, and people that hear me say this, I then get followed up by a number of emails that people talk about things that I hear about, but I'm not quite familiar with the depth and the breadth of it. And when I talk about the fact that, you know, I come from, like you, I come from a corporate background, right? I mean, if people were to look at our resumes, post whatever we're talking about, and they saw, here we are, executives, people in the corporate arena, you know, they always want to know, you got to be kidding me, Pat. That's, I'm not kidding. And I'm sharing this with you because in your book, you know, it really invites us to discover not only, like, who am I, who I relate to, who I identify with, but perhaps how we're getting through the life that we're in, how we're getting to the calling that we're being asked to look at. And I say a lot of things on the show, and one of them I said is, I got to tell you, I learned everything I needed to learn in order to be me today from all of those experiences, mm-hmm. including being homeless and selling hot dogs from a hot dog cart. That's why I say I'm in awe.
Really, your name. Your name is your signature. So that's looking at it from a very spiritual point of view. But we can look at it from other points of view. If you study astronomy, one of the things you realize is that the skies that you look at are full of order. The planets really don't go around crashing into one another. They follow a particular order. And you see this amazing universe in front of you. And what I was interested in was the mathematics of that. How does it function? How does it work? So whether we look from the origins of your name to the origins of the universe, we can see human DNA working.
Mm.
And I asked the question, why not spiritual DNA? And that allowed us to find out that we could work out what DNA we were by asking a number of questions. The name is the clue for most of us. Okay. And from that, we can see that that's the particular line we come from. So the same, like, if you presented, I used to work at DeWitt Junior High in Ithaca, New York, and the first thing you get were the surnames. So the surname told you who your dad was, or in some cases, who your mum was. Sorry, I should say mom, I forget. Dad and mom. It told you that. Now, we've got the same process so that God, wherever the mother, father, who is God, is, can look down and find us by the exactly same process. The name tells him or her what he needs to know.
Mm.
That's making it very simple.
And I love that you did that, though. I love that you did that, though. Because let me give you a sense of a couple of things that happened to me over the past 18 months. One of them, I was at a music video with John Legend. Okay, hip-hop rap song, we're having so much fun. But when it was over, I had met the most incredible people, and I got on the plane. Carmel, I got on the plane, and this has happened since then, because I don't have the words, but your book shows me the words. Right? Your book helps me understand this. And I got on the plane and it was late and it was dark and it was, I think Jessica and I were the only one on the plane. And I looked at her and I said, I'm different. I said,
yeah.
I'm different. I changed. I said, I'm different. And she said, I don't understand what just happened. Because we had this sense. I call it coming out because I don't have any other way to talk about it.
Yeah.
And I think people think sometimes, and I'm hearing this from our listeners, so much magic, both dark and light,
mm-hmm.
and there's so much in us.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to ask you, and as I read your book, every chapter, every archetype, every, whether it was, whether we're looking at Nefertiti, whether we're looking at, you know, Noah or Sarah, as I went through this, it really has us ask the question, or at least for me, you know, what part of these people do I relate to? What is hitting me in my heart and my soul? And I don't know if you intended this book to do that, but I'm telling you that's the impact it's having.
Well, I actually got the idea for the book, like you, when I was on a plane. My mom would say, that was because you were closer to God.
Yes.
The rarefied atmosphere or something was a place where I got all kinds of inspiration. And if you live in Australia and you want to see the world, well, it takes you 24 hours to get anywhere. So that's a hell of a lot of plane rides.
Yeah.
A hell of a lot of being on planes.
Yeah.
I'm fortunate that I can see auric fields as well. And that is helpful in at least identifying people that I deal with. But I have run government departments. So to actually sit down with a premier or a governor or a prime minister and say, listen, mate, I can read your auric field and I know exactly what you're thinking. You know, they will show you the door. So we actually have to kind of be very careful in the way that we talk about our spirituality.
And, you know, I'm finding the language, I find it so fascinating, if I could say this, that you did bring up Saint Germain, because as I got to that part of the book, you know, as I went through, you know, reading so many others before that particular part of the book, when I got to that book, I was just in awe by almost feeling like I was in the moment there. First of all, I grew up Catholic, but there were so many things about Catholicism that didn't work for me. And by the way, I got thrown out of Catholic boarding school at age 6. Do you actually know what you have to do to get thrown out of Catholic boarding school? There's only
one
thing.
Well, I went to a Catholic boarding school, so I know.
You know, at age 6, there are very few things they throw you out for.
Well, what happened to you?
I had a talking to Jesus incident. And it was so real. Stations of the Cross, my dad couldn't pick me up. I was there for a weekend, the only kid, and I'm young, too young really to even be in that school. But I look up at the ninth station of the cross because I was always fascinated by the journey of Jesus, always. And I look up at the ninth, and the ninth is one of the toughest if you're a child. Because Jesus falls down for the third time, but he gets help. And you notice, if you do this, you notice he's turning this way, right?
Yeah.
So he, like, looks at you. And, like, Sister Michael Anthony, who really didn't like me at all, and I'm pulling on her habit, right? Can you imagine this little kid going, hey, Jesus? I said, Jesus talking to me. Jesus just told me my mom is with him, and she's okay. Oh, my gosh. That was it. Dragged me out to Mother Superior. We go into the Mother Superior, and she's got, like, the paper in the hand, you know, with the habit down. Can you imagine this figure now? This is when they have the wonderful habit. So she's got the thing down, and she looks up, and she's got tears in her eyes. And Sister Michael Anthony is just pulling on me. She's doing it again. She's doing it. She's claiming Jesus is talking to her again.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember the words, but that was it. And Sister Michael Anthony says, Patricia's dad just called. Her mom just passed away. Now, that's why you get thrown out of Catholic boarding school if you're that age, because they wanted me to retract it. And my soon-to-be stepmom came in, and this is why I related so much to St. Germain as I'm reading things. You know, my stepmom comes in, and she was Southern Baptist. She was soon to be my stepmom. And she looked at both the Mother Superior and Sister Michael and said, no, in my religion, we all talk to Jesus. But my love for Mary If you come in my home today, you will see beautiful statues of Mary. And I want to ask you this. When I'm reading the book, and as we're talking about it, I would love to hear from you for a moment, because this is such a wonderful gift for people as they're reading it to open themselves up to more discovery. Can you talk to that, please?
Can I just say something about you personally?
Sure.
You're from the Saint Germain energy. Who was the father of Yeshua ben Joseph when he incarnated on this earth? Saint Germain. Who was his mother? Mary.
Yeah.
Right? So I just wanted to give you some another dimension to the story of your critical theme, the critical experience you had.
Mm.
Because I have found the connections I have been very helpful in allowing me to understand the various journeys I'm in. I'm an aspect of Mary. There are three aspects of her, and I'm from the high priestess line. So I've got a job, and it doesn't matter what life I'm in, I tend to do the same job. So one of my jobs, or it's one of my main jobs, to write things down, right? So whether I'll talk Christianity rather than some of the other religions, because
okay.
It's the same. It's
right.
The same in those as well. But so when Yeshua was alive, he brought a remarkable change to the world. And that was captured by a number of people. John, who was one of his apostles, Mark, who was Peter's best friend and who has the same, very similar energy as Peter, El Mariah.
Mm.
And there was Matthew, who Jesus never knew. And there was Luke, who was the doctor who went into his sepulchre and declared that he was dead, but he was still warm. So as they called him in to have a look at what was actually going on in the sepulchre.
Mm.
And there was this man, not breathing, with no vital signs at all, but he's warm. And Luke, a doctor, says, well, I think he's going to die. Right. And he was called then to write one of the Gospels. So that's the line I'm from. So I write the stories of what happened. And it doesn't matter whether it's Buddhism or whether it's Hinduism or whether it is a belief structure of the Australian Aborigines or a belief structure of the American Indians.
Mm.
Those are the things, they're the stories I'm drawn to, their view of the universe, and my role, lifetime after lifetime, is to write about them. So the spiritual DNA concept fits completely within that. A person as Luke, who was scientifically trained in Egypt, asked continuous questions, observed, and then from the observations, and in this case, the lives of thousands of people that I looked at, and draws from those things what is similar, how can they be organized. Throughout Christianity, we have a lot of use of the word, of the number 12, 12 members of the Zodiac, 12 apostles, 12 jurors necessary to make a jury. 12 keeps repeating. So it made sense to me that would be 12 major energies. And those would be used to come in. And it doesn't matter who they are.
Right.
Whether they're Putin, who runs Russia, whether they're Joe Biden, who for the moment runs America. He's an aspect of Saint Germain, by the way. or whether it's the Queen or the Queen Mother of Great Britain, all of those people can be identified and given a name. So this is the spiritual name. If you read auras, you will be able to see this immediately by the colour that's around them. So you would know, if you like, right, there's the Queen on the television screen. What's her colour? Her colour, yes. And she would be a aspect of Kutumi. And Kutumi is a male, and her colour would be the same as Jacqueline Kennedy, Grace Kelly, women of beauty and strength who make a significant contribution to the world. But their beauty is often stunning. If you're a Mary energy, well, you might be lucky and you might not be. If you're that energy, you knock their socks off. Now, I don't know if I've answered your questions because I've digressed.
No, you did. You did, because what I love about this is, you know, and this is what you say, which I really feel is so powerful and a message needed today. You know, it doesn't matter what your social standing is. It doesn't matter whether you believe in God or not. It doesn't matter, you know, if you're on this planet or you feel like you're ordinary or you feel like you're extraordinary. You know, you say everyone without exception has a direct line to God. There's a spiritual DNA.
And you know what? Do you have an animal in your house?
I don't, but I'll tell you, I am surrounded by animals outside my house. In a way, I am surrounded in this new house, which I've only been in for a few months. There has been more animals in a place that you're like, no, why do we have animals out here? So I don't have one at the moment, but I dearly owned a dog for 13 years, was my soulmate dog.
Right. Let's talk about that.
Let's say
for the moment that you are the Saint Germain or the Mary energy because of the purple that's around you.
Mm-hmm.
Then when we look at the animal world, regardless of whether it's a fish or whether it is an elephant,
mm-hmm.
or any of our domestic animals, these domestic animals have exactly the same 12 aspects of spiritual DNA as we do. So you have this kind of passionate relationship with a particular dog, and the chances are that dog shares your energy, or it may be the female of your energy or the male of your energy, you know,
mm-hmm.
one of those. And that tremendous link comes from that. So it really doesn't matter. Anything that God created follows the same pattern, even if it's a rock.
Right. You know, it's funny you bring that up because this was a dog that was literally not supposed to live more than 5 years.
And the dog's name?
Travis. He was a beautiful collie. He looked like Lassie.
Right.
Just absolutely stunning. And there's no question about it. And, you know, I had to make a decision at weeks old because he was having trouble walking. And the vet said, oh, my gosh, this dog has hip dysplasia. You're lucky. It's going to cost money. And I had my corporate job, so money was not going to be an issue for me. And he said, you need to take it back. And I said, no, because if I take it back, you know what they're going to do with him, right? And so we decided to keep him. And he was right. I mean, it was elbows got swollen, but didn't give up on him, and he didn't give up on himself. And 5 expected years, right, the way they describe things to you, is he's not going to be able to walk, and 13. And I think that's because, one, we didn't believe that story, and two, there was just a such a incredible loving bond. And it is so funny you're bringing this up. And here's what I want to say. I have gotten in the past 4 days, maybe five, I turned to Linda and I said, I think we got a bobcat out here. Linda's visiting from New Jersey. She's been helping me out. I had some knee surgeries, which were great. But I said, I'm telling you, it's bobcat out there. I said, that cat looks like a bobcat. And she said, no, that's not a bobcat. It's like a regular cat. It's got a long tail. I said, I don't know what it is about a bobcat. And this morning I wake up and I get on my phone this message in our neighborhood,
yes,
a video of a bobcat. And I, now this was not the same cat, but I must have picked up on the bobcat energy. And I sent it to Linda and I said, can you believe this? Like, why would I be thinking about a bobcat? I don't even know what a bobcat does. And it's, for me, when I'm thinking about this and I'm thinking about how this beautiful, you know, what you're presenting to us is, it starts to have me, at least after I've read the book, ask more questions. I love questions. And I just want to take a minute, if we could.
Yeah.
People, this book is available, and certainly people can get this. And you also, there's a website that we could send folks to, too, as well.
Yeah.
And I want to make sure they do. They go to OurSpiritualDNA.com, OurSpiritualDNA.com, and then you can go over there, and you'll see the book, and you could read and meet the masters from it. There are several in here. You may look at a picture, beautiful website, you know, Carmel, beautiful website, beautiful way for people to look and connect, right? If
mm-hmm.
not deeply, immediately. I have to tell you, I went through some of the imagery on your site and I went through some of the pictures and I started to think, wow, you know, I looked at Mother Mary. But I'll tell you what stopped me in my tracks. Lady Leto.
All right.
And I want folks to go over here on spiritualdna.com because even if what we're talking about if we have our energy field open, which this has been a lifetime journey for me, you know, something strikes us. Like, I was so thrilled to be talking with you about this because we are hungry. We are hungry to be opened again now.
Let's talk about Lady Leto for a moment.
Okay, I will.
Lady Leto is the feminine of Serapis Bay. And Serapis Bay beings don't incarnate that often. But when they incarnate in the masculine, they try to get the name Thomas in their name. So go back to one of the founding fathers. Who was the Thomas?
Jefferson.
Correct.
Yes.
And who was the Lady Leto? Now, I'm going to be lost for her name, but I can describe her. You remember Thomas Jefferson fell in love with a slave woman.
That's right.
A beautiful black woman. And
right.
Her name leaves me for the moment, but that's Lady Leto.
Oh, my gosh, you're right. And, you know, there's a confusion around this, by the way. There was confusion around this. There was the one side of that story was that it was Sally Hemings. That was
Sally, right. That was her name, yes.
Right. Right, that was the slave, right?
Yes.
And then you see the pictures of her. Oh, I didn't think about this. Striking. And now that I'm looking at the picture from your site, oh, my
yes.
gosh, you should put them side by side.
Right. Well, there you go.
Oh.
So once you've got the clue, it doesn't matter whether we're talking about Marilyn Kenton. Marilyn Monroe, or whether we're talking about Donald Trump.
Yeah.
Donald Trump is an aspect of Dwell Cool. And you put him beside other aspects of Dwell Cool who've been presidents. Mm. So think of recent presidents who've got kind of his vague shape and handsomeness.
Mm.
Can you think of one?
My gosh.
He ended up in California.
Right.
Ronald Reagan.
Exactly.
So Ronald. They like those names. And also Donald Duck, remember. So he quacks a lot. But Ronald Reagan had an amazing career. And for those people who had English ancestry, there was a much-loved king.
Mm-hmm.
He was a king during the war. And during the war, he was King George the VI, I believe. George the Fifth.
Mm.
Anyway, he was the George, King George. He was married to Elizabeth, who we called the Queen Mother. And he also was an aspect of Dwell Cool. So I don't want to, if somebody thinks Donald Trump, then they think, if you're Australian, you would think Buffoon. But you wouldn't think that of Ronald Reagan, and you certainly wouldn't think of that as the king. So I just wanted to say, talk about the diversity that he comes in. Now, we were talking about Serapis Bay for a moment. Jefferson.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I'm just trying to think if you had him as a president. No, I don't believe so. Mm-hmm.
I have to tell you, though, when I looked, I have both images. I have a portrait image that was done of Sally Hemings, and I have it next to the picture on your website. Everybody, please go ahead and look at this. We're actually going to put it in the video here as we're speaking. Our spiritualdna.com. When you look, you'll scroll down and you'll see Lady Leto right there. You know, oh, she's wearing purple. I just noticed that. And when you look at their pictures and you look at the expression on the face that you have on your site, and you look at the expression of the portrait picture we're going to put side by side in this video, you will be shocked by the resemblance. And I am just in awe. You know, I want to ask you this question, too, about the book. There were some people, as I was reading about them, that I got a little odd feeling about.
Right.
Okay. You know what I mean? It was...
No, tell me who.
Okay. So I just want to say, I'm not saying that I had like that, but I can't explain the feeling. Remember I described before the feeling when you were talking, when I got off the plane, and I just took a moment and just said to Jessica, I'm different, okay. But when I started to read a few things, right, and I started to have like that kind of feeling, you know, I felt this level of pain, right? You know, and this, I mean like really physical pain,
mm-hmm.
like something really like got me. And it was Athene, right? Athena?
It's Athene.
Athene. If you come into my bedroom,
mm-hmm.
I have a giant frame poster of an abstract version of Athena. Don't know why, don't know how. But when I came to really look on the website, and I looked a little bit, it's a feeling like something in my heart.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't a bad feeling. It didn't stop me from reading. It was like, oh, okay. Who had that experience?
Yes.
Okay.
And that's nearly always tied in with, let's go back to your Mother Superior. I want you to think about those two nuns at the time.
Right.
And can you get the same feeling with one of those?
Sister Michael Anthony.
With Pallas Athene.
Yeah. Well, I think the feeling I get from the pain is when the Mother Superior had her head down.
Yeah.
Right? I get a lot of crazy anger from Sister Michael Anthony, but that same level of compassionate mourning, mm-hmm. like sorrow.
Yes.
That's it right there. Sorrow, a deep sorrow.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I got from Mother Superior in that moment.
Mm.
And it was a nanosecond, by the way, as I reflect back. I only remember the experience.
Run through some of the prominent palaces at the moment.
Yes, please.
So one of the prominent palaces scenes was Margaret Thatcher, right?
Yeah.
Another one is the marvelous woman who has run Germany and has run most of Europe, not to all those blokes into four or six. She is still the current leader of Germany. Angela Merkel.
I love her. I loved her from the day she opened her mouth.
That palace of Eden. Think of Elizabeth I in England, the red-headed queen,
mm-hmm.
the one who had an amazing intellect, like the current leader of Germany does,
mm-hmm.
like Margaret Thatcher does. She wasn't my favorite. She wasn't my favorite prime minister by any means. But sometimes you need a woman who's a very tough nut. Palace's theme was in mythical times, she was a military character, and she was also in Catholic iconology.
Mm.
Saint Joan of Arc.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm.
Right, in military uniform.
Mm-hmm.
That's Palace's theme. You don't mess with Palace's theme. She's full of threats, and she knows exactly where she's going. And if you don't know what she's going, she'll get you by the nose and you follow her.
You know,
and a perfect Mother Superior, by the way.
I was just going to say. I was just going to say a perfect Mother Superior because, you know, I have to tell you that, you know, as I go through these and I go through your book and I'm reading your book, this is really quite a journey to really take all of this in. And, you know, I know for you, Carmel, Carmel, I think that for you, you've done such a beautiful job in this book as you've done, in the other book that I referenced earlier. But what is happening now is the way you're bringing this message forward now, it literally, the timing of it, right? Because I don't know if I would have not gone through sort of that moment on the plane right before the pandemic really kicked in. It was just right before that. And then, you know, these other things that happened over the past 20 months, which led me to not shrink but expand. And as I went through your book, I got a better understanding of that.
Good. I'm very pleased with that.
Yeah.
I find it very useful to look at some of the energies of the people who are your current politicians. For example, Kamala Harris.
Oh.
All right. Now, Kamala Harris is definitely not Palace Athene. She's not there in... She's actually the female of Kutumi, who has been some of your most wonderful presidents. And she is the same energy as the Jacqueline Kennedy, Grace Kelly. And you can see that in her beauty. But don't be fooled by the beauty.
Yeah.
It's the same with Jackie Kennedy. Think of her life from one end to another. Think of the tremendous sorrows in her life.
Yeah.
But also think of the dignity. And honestly, to deal with your Senate or your Congress,
yep.
you need a lot of dignity
yep.
as a woman to put up with the sexism that goes on there and to be dignified and maintain who you are.
Mm.
So that is an example of a great gift to America.
I can't even believe you brought her up. I have been, I don't really energetically Kamala Harris for a long time. I went to school in California, right? So, you know, an introduction to who she was, younger and so forth. Mm. But to watch her journey, I am so struck by her. And I have to ask you this question because I'm reading in your book, and now I'm going to go back and I have to read it differently now because I'm trying to understand my next action. I did a show the other day, and I was talking with someone, one of our new hosts, and I said, I'm drawn to talk about something. And she asked me very bluntly, you know, this is a woman of color. And she said, well, what are you going to say? Or what did you say? What'd you say, Pat? Or what are you going to say? And what is the article you want to write? And out of my mouth came something so fascinating to me. I said, I want to write, and I just said it, the destruction of a powerful black woman. And she said, oh, you're feeling it too. And she said, why for you? And I said, out of all the things that I could have thought of her doing, I find it so interesting we assign her something no one was able to do successfully, including the current president. And I want to talk about what we do to powerful people, powerful women, and what we're doing to powerful black women.
Mm-hmm.
And one of our listeners called in and said to me, well, Pat, what would you give her to do? And this is really why this is interesting in Saint Germain. And I said, without a question, you know what I would have given her to do from day one, even if I'm not to day one, I would literally put her in charge of voting rights. I would have given her a microphone. I would have given her a podium. I would have given her a freelance way to go across the country and talk about equality and talk about the importance of voting rights because nobody does it better than her. And I said, I can't understand how in such a short period of time the powers to be can literally put a gag on someone so powerful, and it's daunting to me. And I shared that. And I didn't understand where that came from, but I'm understanding it a little bit more. And it's so funny, out of all the people you could have brought up that you brought her, that was my reaction. That's why I reaction. Because she's been so on my mind, and I'm watching the media just pick her apart. And it hits me in the same place that I talked about, the Mother Superior, that
right.
Same place.
Okay. And that's how steel is formed. It's formed in the furnace.
I think I'm going to cry. I think that is just
and
so...
And when she is your president,
to me,
we will talk again.
So I'm being encouraged to write this, and I'm rethinking it, because if I write something like that, I believe it will come to be. I think I need to write something different. But in that moment, in that conversation with this woman, I could feel the heaviness of that. And, you know, what you've been able to do in this beautifully written book is help us understand not just how we are in the material world, but how we are spiritually and how those emotions that happen in our lives and what we feel and what we see, right? And what we know, if we don't question and doubt ourselves, when we get in that place of knowing, and I truly believe every single person on the planet has that ability to be in a place of knowing. I know it. I know that moms, when they give birth, they are feeling a place of knowing. They are feeling pain, but they are feeling that. I do believe that, but your book helps us understand the level of spirituality and our birthright spirituality that is so needed for us to help us understand ourselves, not just for today, but for the future. And it's a powerful body of work.
Well,
and I'm so glad you did it.
You're fortunate in America in the sense that that so many of the greatest beings have experienced some of their greatest lives here.
Mm.
And that by seeing their energy, for example, one of the really great energies was Alexander the Great.
Oh.
And Alexander is Hilarion. And where have we seen Alexander the Great in America? We saw him as George Washington. This is the man who was Moses. We see him as George Washington, the first president of the United States. So you can see that when God's at work, how he has been at work, particularly in bringing to you leaders who are monumental and are some of the best the world has ever had, come to help you found this wonderful country.
Mm-hmm.
So there he was, and the 12 apostles of Yeshua ben Joseph were all caught in that group of people. Benjamin Franklin, we haven't talked about Benjamin Franklin, we just spoke about Thomas Jefferson. All right. So Thomas Jefferson was Yeshua's doubting Thomas. Why? Because he was so bloody intelligent. Jesus could never say anything. He didn't say, now, wait a minute. What the hell are you talking about? So that's how he got the name he did. And when you know Thomas Jefferson, you can see the linkages between the two of them.
Right. It's so devil. What's the language we use? It's so devil's advocate type.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
I'm sure he didn't say, oh, let me play devil's advocate. He just jumped out there and just was that.
Well, he's one of the brightest. He's one of the brightest people who his spiritual DNA means that he ends up being bloody brilliant. Winston Churchill. The only man to get two Nobel Prizes, one for peace and one for literature. I mean, so that's the Rapid Bay. He is exactly the same energy as Thomas Jefferson.
Mm-hmm.
It's a reincarnation of Thomas Jefferson. So I just want to say that when the chips are down, God, responding to prayer, puts in place the people who are necessary. The Queen Mother, who was originally Isis, and therefore the Winston Churchill would originally have been Osiris. Here the two of them are, she looking like butter would melt in her mouth,
uh-huh.
And he having a big fat cigar in it. And but crafting beautiful words and having the strength, the two of them, having the strength to stand up to Hitler. So you work on all different levels. We've not only got to have the soldiers, we've not only got to have the leaders of the soldiers, but we've also got to have the great leaders. And what I want to get, the key message I want to get through to you is here.
Yeah.
You have had some of the greatest leaders the world has ever known. They have chosen to come back here. Constantine the Great, for example, was a former life of JFK.
Mm-hmm.
JFK was what a beautiful man, but beautiful to look at, but he had loads of flaws. And great ones come here, and when they have flaws, they stick out like the proverbial dog's balls, right? There's no doubt about it.
Mm-hmm.
They're subject to such scrutiny, and that's that fire and furnace that burns those things away. So we'll see this with your current vice president. She'll be put through the same kind of fire as JFK was.
As we speak.
Yes. But remember, there are no accidents.
Right.
The people who are gifted to this country may be buffoons, Mm-hmm. But they come from a lineage of tremendous strength.
Wow.
And even the Buffon, who was your last president, has tremendous strength there. And I have indicated to you how, if you look at his past life, which was the King of England during that war.
But nothing really surprised us. You know, in my life, and I want to ask you about this, because as I was reading the book, I was trying to think about the people that I am, just for some of the strangest reason here. But before we do, I want to make sure folks look. Go to ourspiritualdna.com. You'll see the book there. You'll also meet the masters. This is what's really cool, why we're talking about this in some detail. But what you're going to find in the book that we're not going into and talking to in so much detail is this beautiful information that you'll find and you'll say, oh, I relate to that, or let me go back and read that. Well, I have to thank you so much for joining me today. And again, I want to make sure folks go to, it's just a fabulous place for you to go to get the book. Go ahead and get it. But it's ourspiritualdna.com. Just one last question. I would love to know your personal message. I would love to know what you'd like to leave us with today.
I've been on a long journey. It's been a difficult journey. And at the end of it, I've come out with a stronger belief in the Mother Father of us all.
Mm.
I can actually see glimpses, I shouldn't say see, I should get little glimpses, of sometimes the why of things, which prior to understanding this particular, I couldn't see the why. I mean, why tear strips off this beautiful woman and do these things to her? And I now know that the real heroes and heroines are put through the blowtorch on the belly. So at the end of it, they can follow the true path.
Yeah.
Right.
I want to thank you so much for everything. And thank you for really writing this absolutely beautiful, you know, what I would like to call this beautiful invitation for all of us to really get to a deeper meaning of ourselves. Because I really do believe that if we get that deeper meaning of ourselves, we can have a deeper meaning of each other.
Yes.
And we can have a deeper meaning to change the world.
And
thank
you'll
you
see
so
all
much.
The connections, the ways that you're connected.
All the connections.
Yes.
Boy, wait till you see the pictures of Jefferson and Sally that look exactly. It's just so beautiful. Thank you so much for everything. And blessings to you.
And to you, Pat.
Mm. Well, thank you, everybody, for tuning us in and turning us on. Thank you so much, Edmund, for doing what you're doing. And for all of you out there, this is truly an invitation. You know, it's an invitation that will hit you so deeply in the places of your soul. And for me, as I read the book, there were moments of relief. I could feel it. And then know that you are empowered in hope today and that you are warriors, all of you, men and women. You have been given and chartered with your DNA, your spiritual DNA. And there are so many things to come in your favor. Thank you for tuning us in and turning us on.
Views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of KKNW, its management, or other advertisers. Contests are the responsibility of the host of this program and not KKNW. This is Alternative Talk 1150 AM, KKNW Seattle, and KNUC 98.9 HD3 Seattle.
And good Tuesday to you. Benny Mathers here for a look at your Alternative Talk AM 1150 traffic update for around the sound. Well, this time over on Highway 99 northbound, southbound at the First Avenue South Bridge. Around Montrose 26, all the lanes have been recently been closed due to boat traffic. Drivers should anticipate a delay up to 15 or 20 minutes or so. 405 northbound out of those S-turns with still stop-and-go issue up to the Kinneydale Hill. It will break free at the top there around the construction zone, Southeast 64th Street and the V-Max.
And stay tuned. Coming up next, after the news and weather, it's another hour of the Dr. Pat Show being brought to you by the Transformation Talk Radio Network. This time, it's awakening to the divine within, opening up to our magical selves with special guest, Natasha Ormanido.
NBC News Radio, I'm Lisa Taylor. House Republicans want to know how the U.S. plans to return Americans who were left behind in Afghanistan. An unknown number of U.S. citizens did not make it out during the final evacuations from the Kabul airport.
Never in my lifetime would I ever believe America would have an administration knowingly make a decision to leave Americans behind.
During the Capitol event, House Republican leader Kevin McCarthy said he also wants to see a list of U.S. military weaponry and equipment that was left behind. McCarthy paid tribute to the 13 American service members who were killed in the terrorist bombing at the Kabul airport last week. He said the troops represented the best of all of us. A bill providing emergency repatriation assistance to Americans returning from Afghanistan is headed to President Biden's desk after quickly clearing the Senate. Several thousand Americans were evacuated during the final withdrawal of U.S. troops from Afghanistan, but an unknown number did not make it out. Power outages are not the only problems in Louisiana, which is recovering from Hurricane Ida. Livingston Parish President Leighton Ricks says there is no water in much of the area east of Baton Rouge.
Now they think there may be a couple of main that have been busted with probably some huge oaks that have come up.
The curfew that is in place will continue. There are still roads they can't get to, and areas that are flooded are dangerous. There are plans to open several more shelters today or tomorrow morning. New York Governor Kathy Hochul is defending her policy requiring everyone in schools wear masks. James Flippin reports.
Hochul noted the controversial nature of the mandate, saying that's okay with her and that she'll make tough decisions based on safety when needed, and arguing this is not the type of thing that will harm children.
I remember my 4-year-old Katie throwing a meltdown over having to put little sneakers on to go to preschool, okay? She eventually was able to handle something on her feet. Kids are resilient. They can handle a mask on their face.
But some say it isn't good for kids to be denied facial expressions and other interactions that come without masks.
You're listening to the latest on NBC News Radio.
Bill Wobbly here. The first thing you're going to have to learn is until you stop expecting the politicians or anyone else to change your life isn't going to change. The only person who can change your life is you, but you need to know how. Listen to my show, the Del Wamsley Radio Show, where the hype ends and the help begins.
Tune in every Monday at 8 a.m., Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Fridays at 5 p.m., and Thursdays at noon, right here on KKNW.
The views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of KKNW, its management, or other advertisers. This program is sponsored by Dr. Pat Vasily and Transformation Talk Radio.
Hi, welcome. This is Dr. John DeMartini. This is one of the most amazing and inspiring shows that you can listen into. If you want to be on the edge of your seats, if you want to open up your heart, if you want to expand your mind, and you want to meet incredible people, stay tuned because you're just about to experience a transformative radio show that will change your life. And you're listening to the Dr. Pat Show that's coming up right next.
Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show. Talk radio to thrive by. Powerful, inspiring, and coming to you live, bringing you stories of people like you and me, busting through and living life full out. Get ready to dare to wonder what your life would be like if you knew you could not fail. Hey, everybody, welcome. It's so great to have all of you tune us in and turn us on. We got an awesome show for you today. Natasha Ormanido joining me here today. Natasha, okay, like if you've never heard her show, fasten your seatbelt, everybody. Benny, make sure you're like got your hands on the buttons just in case something goes sideways.
Oh, boy.
Just saying.
Well, all right, let's do it. All right, I need some action for today.
And I was like, Jamie, you're doing the Facebook and all that business. Okay, you know, don't worry if we go like all poltergeist right today. Look, awakening to the divine within, opening up to our magical selves. This right here for me, how do I want to explain it? You could see me looking up. People say to me, do you have a little bit conditioned? Like, do you have like a thing that happens with you that you look up? I do, because I get these channeling things. But here's what I want to say. This show, hello, everybody, 1-800-930-2819. We need you to call in because this is where we are going to draw the line in the fear sand. We're going to take
we're going to take that thing, like your hand or, I don't know, like if you have a jackhammer, Benny, and you're just going to, like, draw your line today. You're going to be like, okay, fear here, right? Say goodbye to that. Me, abundance, mystic priestess, everything you can imagine, the embodiment journey, what is the womb, mystic priestess, and soul dominatrix, all of this you want to put over here, okay? And then this other stuff, I'm afraid of this. It's not going to do this. I'm never going to get this. Oh, I don't have enough money for that. Oh, my boss just banged on the desk. Okay, my dog is crying. Okay, I don't know what to do. Should I paint my fence? Okay. Today, I want to introduce you to someone that if I were to say, Benny, she's got it going on, that would be like an understatement. So, but I'm going to say it anyway. She's got it going on. So what I mean about that, when you have a passion to hold safe space for people in trauma, trauma survivors, right? Why am I talking to you about this? I know what it's like to be there. I got it at age 6. I got it again at 17. I got it again at 19. I got it again. Abusive relationship. My partner threw me down a flight of stairs trying to bite my right arm off. I believe me, here we are. But if you don't want to be in the dark shadows of that, Natasha Ornedo is somebody you want to talk to. Natasha, HORNEDO.com. I want you to go there. Natasha, are you ready?
I'm so ready. And so there is one thing I want to start with, and it's not necessarily about putting our fear aside.
I just always do things like that. Yeah.
It's actually, it's actually, and what I would invite you, and I'd invite you to play with this too, Dr. Pat, is
do
also,
it.
Take it with you.
Okay. Okay. I could take
it with you on that journey.
Okay.
Because you know what?
I'll make a deal with you, though, on that.
Yeah.
Okay, make a deal. If I take it with you, if I take it with me, as I like to say, it's got to be in the back seat.
You can let it start in the back seat.
All right.
Yeah, that's okay.
I'm going to get schooled today.
So what I invite you, though, as you take that fear with you, as you start to actually allow it, accept it, let it permeate through you, I want you to start to see, what is that fear bringing to your consciousness? What is that speaking to you? Let that fear be what allows you to illuminate the parts of myself, yourself, ourselves, that actually just really need to be loved and accepted. You know, I feel like this is such a perfect moment today. You know what? I want to just start in and, like, be real, like, raw and authentic. I'm coming in with some of those fears. I'm coming in with a lot of these painful memories, visceral body sensation feeling memories of experiences that I went through in my 20s when I abandoned myself, when I was in painful situations, when I was in the... And for so many years, because I didn't want to face those things, I wanted to push them away. I wanted to step into this life of spirituality that I was like, love and light, don't focus on the negative. That sounds great. That sounds like what I need. But it wasn't. Because what it did is it prevented me from illuminating the spaces that needed to be illuminated, that needed to be integrated, that needed to be felt so that I didn't keep making these bad decisions that were hurting others, but and really, like, the worst of it is that it was hurting myself. And when I hurt myself and when I hurt others, what I realized is that I started punishing myself. And so these become the unconscious patterns that start to rule us. This is why we start to hear those voices that tell us, I'm not worthy enough. I'm not ready. I need someone else to show me. Why we give away our power? Because we stop being able to trust ourselves. And the way that we start to regain that back, to have the power of being living truly embodied in our body, of feeling ourselves in every moment, of not abandoning ourselves, is by being willing to go into those shadow spaces, to shine the light and see where that part of you that I like to think of them as kind of these demons that we create. Yeah. But really what those demons are is that's your inner child in the corner crying.
Mm-hmm.
And saying that I have gifts that I want to share. I have value and I have worth. But because the energy I carry makes you uncomfortable, it makes us think that we don't have a place in society. I'm a little messy. I'm a little loud. I'm a little aggressive. We shove these pieces of ourselves into these corners and they become these fears. They become those doubts. And so when they start clamoring for our attention because we want to move forward in our lives, mm-hmm. it's because they're saying, hey, yes, we want you to do that. But first, you need to make sure you bring the gifts that we carry with you.
Mm-hmm.
Because we are bringing completeness, a wholeness.
Yeah. Thank you for that reminder, because one of the things I'm also struck by is the fact that we are whole. We're all of our piece parts. You know, we're all of the parts of our lives, right, that we've been, we are, and we will become. And thank you for reminding me of that, because we are all of that. I think where we get stuck is in this place of thinking that we are that thing that happens, like we become it. It becomes our story. Like it becomes our life.
Yes.
Right? Like we take it every minute of every day. But, you know, part of the work that you're doing is really to look in that place, you know, to look in the place where we're allowed to. And I say that we're allowed because sometimes we don't give ourselves permission.
Yes.
Yeah.
A lot of times. That's where the shame is. Yeah.
And so today we want to be able to do exactly what you said, Ms. Hashra, and be able to look at things and fully stare them in the eye. You know, look, I don't know why I put fear over there, because I don't know that I could. I'm trying to think of a time in my life where I haven't looked fear in the eye. Now, I'm not saying I've handled it well every time. Let's just be clear with that. Just be clear. As a matter of fact, I had a moment right before this show. Funny, you should ask. And, you know, we're looking at our expansion and we have a lot of opportunities, and this is really interesting that these things happen in ways that they do. But you know, you're talking with 10 different people. Everybody has something that they want to offer, but they want something back in return, and you get their word about something, and then you find out they violate their word, and you're kind of thinking, dude, what did you just do? And so today, we have to be able to look deeply, as you say, in that room. We have to be able to look at the many places of our soul to know that even something like that may have a divine, benevolent, unlimited possibility, purpose, hallelujah, and amen to that. Natasha, what do you have to say about that?
I'm so glad you asked me this question. So my amazing Tantra teacher, Miss Valentina Leo, she goes by Mrs. Love. She shares the statement that just so fits this. And so I'm going to start with that, and then I'm going to break that down. And what she says is that this earth, this world, is so benevolent, is so loving, that it's going to create experiences for you. It's going to bring up discomfort, that bring up all of these feelings, that bring up that sense of betrayal, because it loves you so much, Dr. Pat, that it is giving you the opportunity to fully embrace and feel the totality of that experience, the emotions and the sensations that come up, to give you the opportunity to love yourself so deeply and be done with this experience, so that you don't have to keep going through it. So that instead you get to feel this love for yourself and know that you can move forward and experience new and more beautiful things that you create with this sense of healing and totality. And so my question for you is, and we don't have to go into the story of what this was, because honestly, that's what keeps us stuck and attached. But what I invite you to explore instead is, you know, those feelings of betrayal. What did you notice about that? What did that reveal in your body?
Yeah, I'll tell you what it did for me. What it revealed in my body was an interesting place. Let me just start, you know, an interesting place, a feeling that I've been before. And so let's just talk about the feeling that I've been before, because I think most of us can understand when we've been struck by something several times. And I use the word struck because for me, that's the way it feels. So what I'm referring to are these moments where we can fear something in our gut, but maybe we don't have the words for it. I mean, it is, you know, sometimes it feels like you're activating your womb. You know, your womb is like, what is going on down there? Something's going on down there. I feel something going on down there. And then isn't that what you talk about? You talk about the womb mystic princess and my favorite, soul dominatrix. Oh, my God. There's so much I'm revealing in this show. It makes me crazy. It doesn't make me. Benny's like, yeah, we know. But this is really this feeling where we're looking at making things accessible to us. This is the way you, I believe, talk about it. You talk about this. But let's talk about it as what you reference an energy center. Because when you ask me what I'm feeling, I'm not feeling something in my head. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm not feeling it in my shoulder, although my shoulder does hurt today, too much ping pong. But you get it in this place down here, right?
Yeah.
Tell me about that place from your perspective, please.
Yes. And so this space that is located about 2 inches underneath the belly button. Yes, in female-born bodies, we carry that uterus and that physiological womb space. But in all beings, in that space, we carry an energetic womb space, a literal portal of creation and manifestation that lives within us. When you're looking at the Eastern traditions, they refer to this in the Japanese culture as the hara. It's our center of gravity. If we're looking at the Taoist tradition, they refer to it as the lower dantian, the cauldron where we really store and hold our chi, our energy. And so when we look at this space, this energetic space that we hold, and then when we look around the world around us, this is literally what we all live in. We live in a giant cosmic womb space, a portal of creation that is forever expanding and contracting, expanding and contracting. And right now in the earth, we're feeling it. The earth is singing a new song, and it is bringing a level of intensity into our bodies that we are all feeling. A lot of us are wanting to turn up. We want to stay busier. We want to stay not present because it's intense. Because the energy that's pouring through is the literal energy of creation. And this is what we house within our body. And so when you notice that activation in the womb, there's something there that's waiting for you, because this womb space, it's like a sponge. And so it soaks in and it takes in this information around the world. And so for hundreds of thousands of centuries being humans on this earth, we have experienced as a collective severe, severe trauma. And this is things like war crimes, the Inquisition, the Middle Ages, like all of these traumas that humanity has experienced as a whole, they have never, ever been really stopped and addressed. This is, you know, the indigenous in America that have been slaughtered, the residential schools that we see in Canada, the slavery, you know, the racial injustice that we see, all of this. The reason we're seeing this is because this is all literally embedded in every single one of us. We all have a part. We all have a role. We are a collective species. And the wombs are being activated right now to tell us all that we need to slow the fuck way down, to feel this, to release it from our bodies, so that we can start to listen to the earth and live in harmony. Because the rate at which humanity is moving right now is we are moving without an awareness of how we are affecting this womb space that literally supports our life. And if we continue at this pace without slowing down, without tuning into those rhythms, we will destroy ourselves. We will not destroy the womb space. That will be fine. But she loves us. He loves us so much because this is, it's not just about the divine feminine, though that is a really potent energy that's awakening. This is really about the marriage of the divine feminine and the masculine together. And yeah. So that womb space is our wisdom and our connection to this cosmic womb. It is literally where that divinity lives within us.
Yeah.
And this is what I invite you to, yes, to start to awaken and open up to in yourself.
Yeah. So here's what we're going to do, because we're going to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to talk about what it means, what the word embodiment really means. You know, when I think about the word embodiment, you know, I often think about this, you know, Natasha, I was getting ready for the show today, and I was thinking about embodiment, and I was thinking about, you know, the series of things in my life, which I now openly talk about. And, you know, when I talk about them, it's really interesting what people, the way people react. You know, when I talk about my mom's suicide, when I talk about being beaten in a boarding school, you know, and my story about it and what I learned, people look at me like, why are you talking about it that way? You know, this was traumatic. You know, that's your story, can't be that positive. It can't be that. When we come back, why can't it be? Why can't it be that? I don't know. Natasha is going to tell us all about that. Natasha Ornano joining me here today. You know, we're going to talk about embodiment, the journey, and how sometimes it is one of these things, it is helpful not to take it alone. Let's take a short break. We'll be right back.
Does your life often feel like an emotional tsunami where rogue waves crash down on you, leaving you feeling hopeless and wondering if it will ever end? Do you wish to awaken the dormant strength inside of you? Imagine what it would be like to turn your pain into purpose. Start today by scheduling a complimentary consultation with Martinet. Dive into your healing journey and begin to see your life in a new light. Visit MartinetEmmons.com and make your appointment today. You're driven, and it totally shows. Your career is taking off. You're killing it in the mom game. But did your health needs make it on the plate this week? Tune in to the Boss Up Babe radio show, where Carissa Adkins helps babes show up, boss up, and thrive. Every second and fourth Tuesday at 12:30 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Become the boss babe you were meant to be. To sign up for one of Carissa's group coaching programs, visit 365DailyHustle.com.
Tired of not losing the weight? You need a healthy solution for weight loss that protects your muscle mass as the fat burns away naturally. Holistic Medical Center has the healthy option for your weight loss concerns. Lose 1 to 3 pounds per day in 21 days, naturally, under our physician supervision. Call Holistic Medical Center, 425-451-0404. Or on the web, drdarvish.com, drdarvish.com.
Tune into Hungry for Answers every first and third Thursday at 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com with me, Robin Clare. I am a recovery coach, professional, and best-selling author, bringing you eye-opening conversations about addiction and groundbreaking tools for recovery. To learn about me and my offerings, visit Clarity.com. That's Claire, C-L-A-R-E, dash I-T-Y.com. Have you heard about shifting the collective vibration and consciousness on the planet? Join me, Kimberly Barrett, on the Sharing Love and Light show every first and third Tuesday at 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern at TransformationTalkRadio.com to explore the depth of vibration and consciousness on our planet and learn how you can shine your love and light. To learn more, visit SharingLoveAndLightShow.com.
Hey, everybody. It's me, psychic medium Jamie.
And me, spirit walker Nicole. We are so excited to introduce you to our new live call-in show called Shades of Spirit on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
As we connect you with your crossover loved ones, angels, and guides, and also help you develop your own psychic and healing abilities. For more information and to book your own private experience, go to ShadesOfSpirit.com and also follow us on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Hey, everybody, welcome back. I'm so thrilled about doing this show today, Awaken to the Divine Within, opening up to our magical selves, my very special guest, host of our own show, Natasha Ornato. And Natasha, look, before we get rolling here, a couple things. I would love for people to know more about you. How do they find out about you? And also, how do they find out about your work and your upcoming programs? All of the above, please.
Yeah, so you can find me at NatashaOrnato.com. You can also find me through Facebook and Instagram, same name. Everything is real simple. I like to keep it as useful as possible. My program information you could find through my website by going on to my scheduling calendar. The information will pop up. You can find it also with a little more details through either my Facebook or my Instagram. And if you also are like, this sounds good, but I'm not sure, there's a 20-minute clarity call. So you can go ahead and book that. It's for free. You can hop on a call with me, and we can really see if it feels like this aligned place to work together.
Can we have a moment?
Always.
Okay. So the moment that I want to really lean into is I got asked a question in an interview last week, and it's a great question, and it always gets me to think. It always gets me to think, right? I get two very important questions. One is, what's the real color of your hair? Get that one. It's the same as hers. That's like me. If you look at her, that's the color of my hair. And then the second one really is, how do you keep going? How do you keep innovating, you know, coming up with ideas, and then, you know, how do you all put them into action? You know, what's your magic formula? And I will tell you that if you talk to Jessica or Jamie or Malia, Jamie and Malia are new, but if you talk to Jessica, Linda, or Jacob, or anybody, Kim or anybody, their worst energy of the day is when I walk in all excited, like, oh my God, I had the most incredible vision. I've got a great idea. That right there is enough to really temporarily wish everybody was on steroids on the team. You know, I've learned two things. I've learned, yes, if I have a great idea, you know, please don't tax your staff to get it done. Put it in perspective. But I want to ask you about this magical, and I want to ask you about this energy of what you're creating and what we're talking about. Because my wish for the people listening and my wish for the world is to be able to tap into that unlimited nature, you know, to tap into the womb of birth and rebirth, of light and dark. You know, this vision never changed. I have a card from my first show, which was called Crest Busting Your Way to an Awesome Life. That was the name of the show. And on the back of it, it said I wanted to reach a million people to help them live life full out, because I was at one of the lowest points in time in my life. And I dialed the wrong number, and here you and I are. So I want to talk with you today about your body of work and what this does to help people step into the embodiment, to step in, you know, to the nature of deep healing and transformation, you know, and to talk about what you've come to know embodiment is. Could we start there?
Yeah, absolutely. And, oh, it's so juicy. I feel like there's so much to go into. But at first, I'm going to take it into the embodiment and what that really means. And I feel like this is such an important question because we hear this a lot. We hear this tossed around a lot. And I know for myself and my journey, when I started the spiritual journey, I started through the body and I did a lot of yoga and I did a lot of working out. And when I say a lot, I mean I spent 6 to 8 hours of my day moving and working with my body. And what I have come to realize in this last really like couple of months is that I was not as embodied as I thought I was at all. Yes, I was working with my body. I was aware of sensations, but instead of actually allowing myself to be with those sensations, to slow down, to go into those things, I was using all of these movement practices in order to, as I've heard Reshma Menakeem say, yoga the heck out of it. And so, yeah, I mean, and when he said that, it was just this illumination, this light bulb of how, as a society, we have really been taught that when we start to feel these uncomfortable emotions, these sensations within our bodies, not to honor what is truly coming up and being asked within ourselves, but to speed up, to run away from it, to do these practices that are meant to create embodiment, but we've been using them in this way instead to try and contort our desires, to try and deny and repress or control ourselves. But really, when those sensations come up, when something in your body is giving you that activation, what true embodiment is being able to be present and willing enough to be like, oh, I am feeling a depth of intensity and this is so uncomfortable. I don't want to be in my body. But instead of doing that, taking that moment to, instead of speeding up or making yourself too busy, instead of doing the most radical, beautiful thing that you can do, which is simply to slow down, just to take a breath in a moment. And if it's really this intensity that's like, oh, this needs more time and space, honoring that. Like if you're in a conversation and this is like, you know, and it feels like you need to do this thing, like it's a work situation, being brave enough in that moment to be like, you know what? There are a lot of sensations coming up in my body that I need to explore right now, and I need some time and space to do that before I can continue on in this moment. We've been living in this world, and you touched upon this, Dr. Pat, with like you get these inspiration, these great ideas, but then when you come in, you're just like, let's do, it's this big solar energy, this masculine energy, this energy that we have seen get distorted in the sense of what we all like to call the patriarchy. And so I know for me, I had seen myself for a long time as like this big feminist of like, yes, take down the patriarchy and all this stuff. And I found myself recently realizing that I feel really silly with myself about that. Because what I was doing is that, you know, in the sense of like when we're looking at polarity, that shadow work, I'm projecting this outside of myself when I am a part of this. I have been in that solar energy of like, oh, I have an idea, and then it's like off to the races, put it in a structure, get it done, put it out there, instead of being like, well, wait, is that what happens in nature? When we're pregnant and a child is gestating, does that child pop right out? No. It is slow. It takes time. It takes nurturance. It takes a gestation period to allow that precious seed of life to fully flourish. And then it comes out through the structure. Then we put that container of that solar energy around it. And so this is what we are stepping into now, this new place, this new opportunity to marry that divine feminine and masculine within us, as I stated before, of learning to work with that energy in a new way. Because when we think about the patriarchy, and this is something that I know was really painful for me to look at and reflect in myself and say, there is this aspect of me that's responsible for this. Because that feminine energy, it is chaos. It is like
very rightly so. When you come in, your staff feels it because they're like, oh, boy, we just got into a stable place, and Dr. Pat's coming in to blow it all up. We're going to dissolve. We're going to restructure because that's what creation is. And so the way we've been interacting with that energy is instead of allowing ourselves to slow down, to take a breath, to let that energy come through until we find that grounded place, we've been using that solar energy, that masculine energy that's become the patriarchy, as we like to say, to come in and be like, we got to control and contain this because this energy is crazy and can literally cause a nuclear explosion. And they're right. This energy could do that if it was left unchecked.
Yes.
But that's the thing. It's not going to be unchecked because we work with both. And when we start to allow those energies to instead communicate with each other in a loving way, to be in a marriage, a love relationship, a partnership, cool. This is when we're going to start to see the world interact in a new and beautiful way.
Yeah. And, you know, this is really for me, you know, every day I think about sort of the reflection on how I start my day. And I've joked about this on air before. I have a daily meditation I do, and I always stop and I ask, you know, God, Goddess, you know, universe, source energy, what is mine to do today? And I can't tell you for how many days, like now into years, there's one answer, and the answer is more. Do more. And then I always come back and jokingly say, okay, little guidance would be helpful, and I get it. But most of us have had, what do you call them, hard knocks in life. You know, we've had a few things, I don't call them hard knocks, but the reference, our pop culture reference to things that happen, right? You know, we have some incredible words that we use a lot to describe things that happen in our lives. And so what I wanted to ask you about for today is, and I want to take a short break and come back, is I want to talk with you about creating that space of inclusion, because we are in a place where there is a healing right in front of us right now. Even if you were draw from the headlines this morning, there is a healing going on. And, you know, there is a level of division going on. And, you know, once upon a time, we could really look at things and identify it and know, I don't really like this person because of the color of their skin. I don't like this person because of who they love. I don't like this person because what they believe. Now in the world we live in today, you know, there is an energy that I do believe all of us look at every day in some way. Even down the fine line of, seriously, you didn't get vaccinated, oopsie, you're not wearing a mask, oh my gosh, dot, 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 we're going to take a short break and we come back. All of this is an energy. Where does it go? How does it affect us? And thanks to Natasha, what can we do to create the space of dynamic, magical, priestess womb, dominatrix soul healing. We'll be right back.
Is open and we are doing strictly phone consultations. If you would like to call and get tuned up, it's perfect time with everything that's going on and things are calming down. Pick up the phone and give us a call. It's quick and easy and it's fun. If you'd like more information on it, you can look at MaryJaneMack.com or call our office at 888-777-4232.
Imagine what it would be like to turn your pain into purpose. Tune in to Transformation with Martinet every second and fourth Friday at 10 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com
Martine and her guests are here shining their lights today through empowering stories of hardship and transformation. Begin to see your life in a new light. Visit martineemmons.com and tune in every second and fourth Friday at 10 a.m. Pacific to Transformation with Martine. Life can be demanding, but sometimes our wheels are spinning and we're too focused on making them turn to notice we're stuck in the mud. Tune into The Pause with me, Ellen Wyoming Deloy, every second and fourth Tuesday at 9 a.m. Pacific on Transformation Talk Radio. Learn how to stop, reflect, and start moving forward with intention. And if you're really looking to jumpstart your personal development, schedule a free coaching consultation with me at ellenwyomingdeloy.com.
Hey there, I'm Ricky Schwartz from My Turn Life Coaching, Reclaim Your Life. How do you know if you're living your life and not someone else's? Here's one way to find out. First, list out your top five core values. For example, mine are empathy, excellence, passion, service, and core values. Then put those core values into short first-person core value statements. In my case, one, empathy powers my relationships. Two, excellence is the goal in all things I do. Three, passion fuels my perseverance. Four, my value is measured by my service to others. And five, core values drive all of my life decisions. Now ask yourself, am I using my core value statements to drive my personal and professional decisions? Maybe not. Maybe you've never even considered doing so. And that's where life coaching begins. Go to MyTurnLifeCoaching.com and let's put your personal core values into your driver's seat. Tune in to Hungry for Answers every first and third Thursday at 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com with me, Robin Clare. I am a recovery coach, professional, and best-selling author, bringing you eye-opening conversations about addiction and groundbreaking tools for recovery. To learn about me and my offering, visit Clarity.com. That's Claire, C-L-A-R-E, dash I-T-Y.com.
Benny, I'm going to do my belly dance. Thank you for that music.
Yes.
With
Benny.
With a whip crack? Okay.
Yes, indeed. I will definitely be on to that.
Totally.
Welcome back
for another day.
To do a whole show on that. Welcome back, everybody. Awaken to the divine within, opening up to our magical selves, my very special guest, Natasha Renato. Natasha, before we keep going, because I really think this next part is so seriously important for all of us, the messaging in it, how do they find out about you? And tell us about some of the upcoming programs you have.
Yeah, so you can find me once again at NatashaOdnado.com, through Facebook and Instagram as well. It's the same, Natasha Odnado. The information on my programs are up there as well. This October, I will be launching my first group embodiment and coaching program called Awakening the Divine Within. And so this is going to be a combination of breath and movement embodiment practices that really give you the tools and resources to stay present in your body with all of the intensity that is coming at us in this moment in the world. It's going to give us the permission to stay within ourselves, to clear away all that we don't need to hold in the body anymore, and as well to give us the power to be in our power through this intensity, to reclaim our passion, our bliss, so that we can step up and share the medicine that we all have. And we can come into this world feeling 1,000% that we have the right to be who we are as we see for ourselves, regardless of what anyone tries to say outside of ourselves, but also giving everyone else the permission to be who they are meant to be.
In the process and also in getting ready for this show and so much more, you know, there are a number of things that come to light. You know, I was talking with you during the break about how painful it was for me to watch some of my closest friends get beaten or knocked down. And And I thought for myself, and there's a reason, Natasha, people call me naive, right? There's a reason I got Pollyanna Patty as a nickname, because somewhere inside of me, I thought in my lifetime that we would be beyond something like that. And it does bring up childhood things. And I want to ask you about the body of work you do, because I can't tell you how many people have gone through these past 20 months and continue to be in the middle of them with the reflections upon reflections upon reflections of past trauma. What are you seeing, and doesn't your body of work really address that?
Yes, and we were also talking on the break a little bit of really diving into what it means to be a soul dominatrix. And so this is going to be it right here. And this is going to be how I share it, where this work is not for the faint of heart.
Yeah.
This desire that you have, Dr. Pat, we are in a pivotal moment in time where we can make this a reality. But we have to make the choice to do that. But the thing is, it's probably not what you think you're asking for. Because what the work is, the requirement to get to this place, to not have to see our grandchildren still have to raising those protest signs to fight for the right to be who they are, requires deep internal work so that we are healing within ourselves the parts of us that are creating the reality we are seeing. And so what I'll share with that, and kind of in the context of what we see happening in the world, we see wanting to yell across at the other side, it's your fault, it's your fault, it's your fault, it's your fault. This polarity, this division. What this is doing right now, this is actually, as hard as it is sometimes to see, and this is where I'm going to drop that soul dominatrix, because I'm going to turn this perspective on you, that it's probably going to make you angry. It's probably going to make you feel so many things good. Feel those things and explore what they are saying to you. This is a gift from the divine. And what it is trying to get me to do, all of us to do in our own unique ways, is to turn the reflection back and realize where when we are extremely triggered, where we feel this deep repulsion and we want to say that that's something else and someone else,
yeah.
After we start looking within ourselves. And it's not always going to come out that way. And can I share a little bit, Dr. Pat, of what
please.
You were sharing on the break?
Yeah, please.
You talked about this experience of you have this community where a lot of your very close connections are from Asian countries. And that you noticed in this time of COVID that they went through this terrible experience of literally being assaulted. And one of the things that you noticed as you were watching this and how it just broke you open was also how in that moment it triggered for you this old wound and this pain of an experience that you went through.
Right.
When you were also not able to freely express who you were and you were outwardly assaulted for that.
Yeah.
And so this is where I would come in as the soul dominatrix, and I would be like, okay. And it's really easy for us to look outside of ourselves, and even this so well-meaning of like, oh, but it's these people I love, and like, I need to worry about that. But actually, it's about going into what that brought up for you and looking of what that reflection is, because you didn't feel safe to be who you were. You couldn't express that. And so somewhere inside of you, there was actually a battle going on. And this battle, you know, for very good reasons, reasons of knowing that it was dangerous to share who you were. And that got reflected back to you in those situations of having that occur to you. And then also now in the situation of seeing this occur and remembering you of that trauma that we are carrying within us. And so the work there is, instead of focusing on the outside, instead of immediately going to run to see how we can fix that outside of ourselves, is to first go inside and see, wait, where am I assaulting myself on the inside? Where am I not allowing myself to be who I am?
Mm-hmm. And this is painful work. You know, even as I share that, I can just feel this wave of deep, like, just sadness and this feeling of like, oh my God, like, you know, I like to share from my personal experience. And so for me, it's that it's often a sense of rejection, a sense of feeling that I don't belong, I'm too much, that if I truly share who I am, people won't understand me, and I hide myself, and then it creates this experience for me that creates all of this pain. But when that started to shift, and this is something that I'm very much still working and healing right now, me being this visible and vulnerable and authentic and raw is a part of this process, is where I realized that, you know, it was a part of me. You know, that part usually that is held within that masculinity, that solar energy, because it's such a protective energy, where it was like, Natasha, it's not safe. Because I had also very real experiences growing up as a child where when I showed myself fully, I was beat. You know, and like, it's not my fault. Like, that is not the case at all. But as we get older, as we start to be able to have the capacity and depth to metabolize these experiences, what we can learn to see is that this is what happens when that trauma keeps getting passed down, when it doesn't get processed in this way of seeing where this battle is literally being carried within our bodies and then reflected in the outward. So if we want to change the world, if we want to see this stop, if we want to stop fighting, we have to actually stop fighting,
mm-hmm.
not just in the outside, but in the inside.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I'm so glad you brought that up because, you know, these are the, I call them, sometimes they're not so subtle, but a lot of times, Natasha, they're really subtle energies. And let me just have you talk about this for a minute. You know, how many people have you walked up to and said, how are you today? And the answer is fine. Right. And maybe in the world of new ageism, that's the answer you want to give. But deep down inside, as the word fine is coming out of your mouth, it's also being argued with fear and lack and hurt and pain and betrayal, whatever that is. It could be any number of things. And I want to talk about the insidious nature of this. Because we can go through decades after decades after decades and think it's all good and never really know when that trauma, that wound might come back. Now, I will tell you, I did find out which company did that hard pull on my credit. I do know they did agree not to do this. I also know they're a company that I've worked with before. And we're in the exploratory stage of what we're doing because we really want to build and do some crowdfunding. And yet at the same time, there are two things I can do. One, I can take an action. And two, not carry that energy forward, not have them become the driver of my chariot. And in the time we have left, I want you to talk to that because it doesn't mean that there's no action for you to take. I mean, think about the things we're mm-hmm. talking about today. We take action on our own behalf. We take action to live a life. We take action, you fill in the blank. We take action when something goes on that we think is an injustice. We do something about it. I don't know what that is for you. I marched in every protest I could march in when I was in my 20s. Yeah. And so tell me, in your experience, your own life, because I know you've been there. I know like we're like sisters from another mother, brother. I know we are. The past 20 months may have embedded in the minds and the hearts and the souls of millions and millions of people a state of being that they could not anticipate, but yet you have the tools to help us move ahead. Tell me about them.
Oh, always so much juiciness that you drop in when you share. And so I'm going to take a pause and tune in because so much was coming up and through me as you shared. And so the first piece I want to share in this is that the trauma that we are seeing and experiencing right now, while there is a story here on the outside of what's happening, because that is the way the world works for us, we create a story and an essence to carry this energy, is exactly the piece that you talked about of this energy has been carried for hundreds upon thousands of years through our cellular DNA, our genetic makeup, our ancestry. And so what happens, though, is that as that trauma gets tossed down, as that energy keeps moving down, it gets deconceptualized, because how many of us stop and think and say, oh, gosh, this betrayal that I'm feeling, or this pain, could this have possibly been, you know, from my ancestors and when they experienced betrayal? No, the first thing that we do is we're going to attach to the story that's happening in front of us, because that is what gives us the context. But we are oftentimes giving, not that it's not valid context, but context that doesn't have the broader piece of the picture into the description of what the feeling is that's coming up, this energy. And so what that does is that keeps us stuck and holding the same energy. I'm not sure which beautiful mind said this, which I want to say Einstein, but I know that I've heard it said before, is that we cannot create the solution to a problem with the same consciousness that created it.
That is it. So that is Einstein.
Yeah. And so this is exactly it. It is the fact that we are carrying this energy, something is being triggered with us, and we are jumping into trying to action it and fight it, and we're carrying that same energy. And so that is what the invitation is, to instead pause, stop, be with that energy, heal it within yours, literally find out what that means and love your energy. And that is not easy work. There is no simple answer. This is the thing. You know, we want simple answers, and there is not. This is why we have each other. This is why we all have medicine to share, because that's why we come together, we support one another, and we help ourselves sort through it. And then when we can sort through and integrate what we need to with whatever energy it is that that's carrying, we can metabolize that. And then that's exactly it. We can connect ourselves in with the divinity, the bliss, the love. And then from that place, we can move into action of clarity of, oh, now, how can I go into this? And it doesn't have to be of the mindset of how can I fight this, but instead it can be, how can I go into this now with this newfound clarity and love and discover the way to a solution to what I'm experiencing?
Yeah. And look at, this is why I was so excited to talk with you today. This is why we all have to be in support of each other. You know, I know that when my friends were telling me about that incident and how badly damaged and wounded the individual became, that kid from the Bronx, that kid from the Bronx that had to scrap and crawl and, you know, literally make sure myself, my family, you know, wasn't getting hurt, you know, walking back from PS-14, you know, all of those things just fired up in me. The good news is today I don't act on them. So we're not going to have the Bapa police be banging on my door today. But people can go to you, and they could get some deep healing and deep wounding. Thank you for today. Please let folks know how to do that, and I'd love to know your personal message for today.
Yeah. And so first, something I just want to briefly share before I give that information is also that they're coming to me because they know how to heal themselves. I am here simply as a guide and resource to just light the way and show you some things that we have as our blind spots. We all have them. And if you feel ready to start to explore those blind spots, to really actually shine the light, to bring peace into yourself, then you can find me at natashaornedo.com. Through Facebook and Instagram, you can look up the same, Natasha Ornedo. I would be honored to serve you on this journey or to provide you resources.